My name is Secret Agent Smith, and I'm here to talk to you today about something secret and a top secret mission that I have for you. Let's see if this works. We find this top secret mission written down in a book that all people can open, but nobody can see, except for some. And today I come with a secret mission to ask you if you're willing to accept it, to ask if you're willing to understand this mission. We see in Luke 10:24, in this book, that all people open, all people read, but nobody sees the mission. It says, "I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and they have not heard it." There are many people who want to hear this mission that I am about to present to you today. Now, I have headquarters on the radio here, giving me instructions of things that need to be done and to be, yes, just a second, yes. Okay, protection borders put up, team angels in place, great, sniper team angels in place, great. We are all protected here today, and we are ready to hear about this mission that people want to see. But the reason why people cannot see this, cannot understand it, is they do not have the key. They do not have the key. But I am here today to reveal this priceless key to you. There is a cipher key that if I were to give that to you and you apply it to this book, you will be able to understand this puzzle and this secret mission that we have for you here today. What is that cipher key? We call it HD. It's the HD cipher key, made up of holy days, or HD, obviously. That is, these that are written here. They may seem like simple words to you: Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, last great day. But that is the elegance of this puzzle and this mystery, is it's plain words in plain sight. But when you take these and you apply them to that book that everybody opens, you can see something they don't see. You can hear something they don't. And this is the mission. This is the mission and the plan that I want to ask you. If you want to become a secret agent yourself, do you want to join the forces in the ranks to be a secret agent and to understand this plan and to go do the very same thing? What is that plan? Let's take this cipher. Let's apply it to this book. Let's unlock what this says. You know, there's a plan that's written in there. It's quite fascinating. If you don't have the cipher, you won't get the order. It won't make sense to you. You can pick out pieces of it. You can see and read and understand pieces, but you have to have this order. You have to understand this and apply it to that book to be able to get this. Let's start back at the beginning. And some of this I'll go through fairly rapidly, just to show you that how this entire plan fits and is laid out. So you can see that this plan was not by accident. It was deliberately thought out. We find in John 1:1 that it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We find here two beings that are part of the Godhead, that are part of God. One, the Word was with God, and they're distinctively that way. One is who we knew, who became Jesus Christ. The other is the Father, as we know in the Bible, as they are described to us. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And so what we find to start with in this plan is that we had these beings that existed. Where did they come from? They existed forever. They're eternal. They have neither a beginning nor an end. They existed forever. They were just there. And in what they decided to do is they willfully had a decision to make. They decided that they would like to put together a plan and a place where they could grow a family. So they had to create a world. They had to create a place where they could put beings on it. And in this world with these beings, they would tap each one on the shoulder at different times and say, "I would like you to become a secret agent. Would you like to become a secret agent and go through this process to become part of our family?" They had to make a deliberate decision to do this, and this is what they did. And we find that written there in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." These two beings made this heavens and they made this earth. Now, what we find, though, is a lot of times people look at that and go, "Oh, yeah, That story doesn't make sense with science, because it looks like it was 6 days, and we know from carbon dating and a bunch of other things, which our science community has looked at, is that the Earth is much older than that. So how could this be a 6 day or 6,000-year-old thing? Well, between verses 1 and verse 2, what we find is that there's a key difference in word. Verse 1 and verse 2, between those, there appears to be a gap of time. We don't know how long that is, because in the beginning, God did create the heavens and the earth. And we read in another place that that heavens and the earth were not created in tohu and bohu, or created in chaos. It didn't start out that way. So when we get to verse 2, we find that it says the earth was in tohu and bohu, which means that between the first and the second verse, somewhere, some period of time, it had become like that. Had it become in tohu and bohu, or it had to become in chaos. And so something happened between that time frame. And if you piece together this plan, it's not exactly explicit about some of these things. You can surmise that there was a being and a set of beings that rebelled, and they came and probably ended up with a big fight, destroy the earth. So what we find in verse 2 is an account of a recreation, where we created it originally a long time ago, but then we are recreating. We're moving on all this chaos and confusion, and we're recreating the earth. And in that time period, in that 6 day window, God put the light, the sun, the stars. He wound up the clock of the universe. He put everything in place, the animals, the water, the air. He made all the ecosystems work together. And if you realize how complex that is to do, this is how powerful the being is that is asking you to become part of the secret agent group. So that recreation happened, and in the final culmination of the creation part was two things. One was he put man, which is you and I, physical man, on this earth. And then lastly, he created a day, which is a day of rest, which is why we're here. Those who are secret agents know that. They know that day. They understand that process. But God put that man on this earth as physical. Why? So that you could choose if you want to become a secret agent. If you get tapped on the shoulder and say, I'd like you to be a secret agent, you can choose that. And you can go on and do that and become a son of God. If you choose not to go that way, he doesn't want more of the same rebellion that's happened before. That just quietly would die. Your existence pretty much dies as a physical being. So he gave that man choice and the ability to choose. Now, this establishment at this point in time in history is what we refer to really as a time period from when Adam was created as the age of man, roughly a 6,000-year time period. And it was given, the rulership of this earth was given to a being called Satan at that time. So while God is in the picture, we have a being who rules over this earth. And during this age, that is the ruler of this earth, is a being called Satan, who did rebel against God. He rebelled against God. And we find that that being was created perfect from the beginning, but rebelled against God, but started a time period. And that time period really started as well when we read in Genesis 2:16, when man was put there, there was put a tree as well. And it was told of the tree of the garden of you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. Again, code. This is a mystery. This is a cipher for you. There's two ways that were presented. One, you become a secret agent. You enroll in this. You go forward. You go this way. You become a family member. Two, you reject all that and you live the way of this world in the age of Satan in the way that he does things. That's code. And so we're shown here that there's two ways. What did man do? Man rejected becoming a secret agent from the beginning. He did not want it. He said no, walked away from it. Now, God didn't foil his plan, because that set the course and the direction for the age. He went more Satan's way, not the way of the secret agent way. But that doesn't foil God, because God's plan accounted for that. And you'll understand that at the beginning, that he knew that that would happen. And at those days, that's the cipher, the HD cipher, you remember those? That tells you he knew that ahead of time, because he gave those days at the beginning, knowing this would be, that this would take place. And so he set it up to where he would still call secret agents during that time period, just a few at a time here and there. And then we'll find out later how he put it together where everybody gets a chance to be a secret agent. But this is the time period that we're up. We have these two trees establishing this age of man in the direction that they went. And man went fully away from the secret agent way towards the way of the ruler of this earth. And is Agent Smith here? Whoops, second. Yes, headquarters. Right. Yes. They said to let you know that the culmination of that entire choosing that way ended up into a place where man just did evil continuously, that it was nothing but an evil time. And so while it seems like a cruel act, it was actually an act of mercy where God sent a flood to this earth to destroy all mankind except for who? We had an early secret agent. His name was Noah, right? And Noah was a secret agent. People don't know that, but he was a secret agent there. And God saved him out because he chose that way, whereas the rest of the world went the other way. And he sent a flood and mercifully put them out of the misery because it was only evil and killing and horrific things taking place on the earth. Now, we find what's happening during this time period is that God began to tap a few people on the shoulder and to make an agreement with them. This is one. Genesis 17, verse 1, we find one of the early secret agents, one of the fathers of secret agents here. It says, I am the Almighty God, talking to Abraham. It says, walk before me, blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And so God made an agreement with this secret agent early on to say, walk with me. You be my secret agent, walk with me. And Abraham made a covenant. Now, what was interesting about that covenant is that covenant that he made was another clue and another cipher. And it was pointing to the biggest of all secret agents to come later on. And they said that when I multiply you, it will be through and in your seed, all will be multiplied. That's referring to the ultimate secret agent to come later that we will find on this earth. And so we find that God started to tap and to call different secret agents and leave clues about other ones to come and the plan and where it was going all throughout the entire thing. Again, if you don't have the cipher, you can't read that. And we find later then, too, that not only did he call just a person, he actually took and he said, let's take this secret agent training and let's give it to a nation as well, a full nation. And in Leviticus 26, verse 12, he said this to them. He says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my secret agents. You shall be my people. You shall be those that are my secret agents at this time. And what we find then in this timeline is that we add a nation into the picture where God was calling to be as secret agents, Israel. And he gave them the picture of all of this. And you know what he also gave them? He gave them the cipher. Do you know that? He gave them the cipher key. But they refused to see and to understand the cipher key. They only chose to see the words on paper and just doing the day versus understanding how it unlocks the picture of things. And that required something else to unlock it. We'll find out later. What requires to unlock it is not only the cipher key plus this book, but you have to be given something else to turn that key. Turn that key. What a mystery this is. What a mystery down through time that this whole thing is. Now, through that time period as well, we go to Ezekiel 34, 23, and we find that there is another secret agent. Now, this, we see God calling secret agents and doing different things with them. In this case, it says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Now, wow, what does this mean? We have a secret agent that was called that was put in as a leadership position. That's interesting. His training was a little bit different. His training was meant to be a leader. Now, what's interesting is, yes, he was a leader back then, but guess what? He understood the cipher, and he unlocked the key, and he knew he was going to be a leader later, too. So everything with these secret agents, they understand today, they can unlock, and they understand what's happening in the future as well. So we find in this process that God brought one of these secret agents in and decided to make him a king and put training and give him training. And that is David. And you see in the time period, roughly, there's David came upon the scene. Now, all of these were pointing towards forward to some other ultimate secret agent to come. And we find this, that that secret agent came and was given a mission. Headquarters, who's on the radio, gave him that mission and told him to go do things. And so when he came to this earth, this person, Jesus Christ, he told the mission that he had. He explained it to everybody plainly, but guess what? They didn't get the mission. He said, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Wow. There was a lot of packed into that mission. And we see again, because he understood it, that it is both here on the earth and both to come, and both in a spiritual sense with those. To heal the brokenhearted and all of those has to do with, yes, there's physical, but there's also spiritual and emotional issues. And proclaim liberty is not just a physical thing, but a spiritual thing as well. And so we see this is the ultimate secret agent came on the scenes that the world couldn't see. That was that being in the beginning that was called the Word, came down to this earth and was made into flesh as a secret agent, just like you and me. Why? So that that secret agent could understand when you're a secret agent, what it's like, could also live perfectly to die for you so that you can get there, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You're given this. You're given this mission. You can accept it, but you won't get there unless you accept that super secret agent and what he's done for you to get you there. And that's how we get there. So that is the super secret agent you and I rely on. Jesus Christ is his name. Only you and I really know what that means at this point in time. So he set his mission. He was given words from headquarters, as we're given words from headquarters, and he spoke them to people. He fulfilled his mission, and he did something so that you as a secret agent could be possible to make that and to get there and to be there. And so when we fast forward in this timeline, we see after a long period of time, we have a point in time somewhere. We're getting 3/4 of the way through or so, 2/3 somewhere. Christ came. This secret agent came. Now, what's interesting is this, a couple of things. One, if you don't have that cipher, you remember the HD cipher, you will read in this book that he came or is coming. And people will misread that because they will think that's not him. Because when I read about him coming, it's all these big events and taking over the kingdoms and all this stuff, and that can't be him. So they don't understand what just happened. If you understand the cipher, you get that there are two times. Two times the secret agent's going to come on the scene. Two times to be sent for a mission to do something. And there's a first time and a second time. If you don't have that cipher, you won't get that. If you don't have that HD cipher, you won't get that, because it shows us when you put those things together. He came first, what's called Passover, to die for us, to die. And everybody thought, oh no, that can't be him because he didn't come and rule. But that's the same person. And what they don't understand is there's another part of the cipher, trumpets, when he comes back to do it a second time. And we'll see that in just a second. Now, when he came, this time, he began to call quite a few more secret agents. Not millions, but quite a few more at this period of time. And he took those secret agents and he said, secret agents, you need to be in a secret agent club together. The code name for that is church, his body. We put it in code there, but it meant to be that the secret agents are together. They're supporting each other. They are doing their mission together. They are as one thing, and that is on display to everybody else and to all the spiritual world, that the secret agent thing can work, not because of us, because God and the super secret agent called and put them into this thing called the secret agent club, otherwise known as the church. He put them into that together. Now, this is an interesting thing, because as he's doing this, you remember before when I said this age is an age where it's ruled by a different ruler, there is a kingdom that Satan has. In fact, Christ says that. If Satan's kingdom were divided, it's such it wouldn't stand. So It is not divided because it's loosely just controlling everything in this world. But when you get called a secret agent, guess what happens? There is a kingdom that you're in. There is another kingdom. It's the kingdom of the secret agent, kingdom of God, that contains all these secret agents. You know what happens in this process is you actually get literally picked up out of the one and dropped into the other. Did you know that? If you accept this mission, you will be picked up out of one of those kingdoms, and you will be silently moved to another. People don't know that, but you do. You're actually part of that this day. Now, along with this moving, we need to give you a new passport. So you will have to trade in your passport. You can have dual citizenship for right now, but you have to understand that your citizenship, this new passport, is the most important one. You will be a Kingdom of God passport that you will be given, and if you choose to accept that today, you'll get a Kingdom of God passport issued to you. If you lose it, you will have to go to the passport agency in Seattle to get a renewal of that, but you will, I'm speaking from experience, Agent Smith isn't always on top of his things, but I try to be. And along with this passport that you're given, this new passport, comes along with it diplomatic immunity. Did you know that? You now have diplomatic immunity. You can be in this world, and you can claim diplomatic immunity and say, I belong to that one, and they can't touch you. Did you know that? You have a new passport. You belong to a new group. You have diplomatic immunity now. This is an amazing thing. You can even show people that passport. Hey, you can say it, that name. It's not because you, it's because that authority there you belong to now. That's why. So if you choose to accept this, we will grant you a new passport and you will be granted diplomatic immunity. How great is that? How great is that? It's a good deal. I would accept it. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. So we have the church. Now, somewhere near the end of all this time, this plan of the age of man is all it is, this roughly 6,000 year period. There's a time where this has to end. Why? Because just calling the one agents here and there and a few here and there isn't the ultimate plan of God. God actually wants to tap everybody on the shoulder and say, would you like to be an agent? To do that, he has to end this. He has to end the ruler here. He has to set up another one. Before that happens, there's going to be a time in the Bible that's called the Great Tribulation. Yes, okay. I was told to tell you that it looks scary, but it does have to get worse before it gets better. But take heart. It's called the Great Tribulation, but you can be brought through that if you choose to be a secret agent. That's another benefit. If you want to, with that passport, you can claim immunity from that as well. That is a gift. But we find this is written, too, in the Bible in Matthew 24:21, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. It is a very rough time that's going to happen because the violence of putting down this ruler, and he does not want to go, and this kingdom does not want to go away, will be a very violent fight. But what comes after that is all worth it. Is all worth it. Because we find now, when this tribulation's almost over, that we find the super secret agent again. This is his second mission. First mission came to die so that you and I can be called secret agents and he will get us there. Now he comes back to change where you are now in this physical and to give you a spiritual super secret agent body. Wow, this whole plan, if you think about it, has no downside. There's a lot of gifts that you're given throughout this entire thing that are just amazing. He comes in his second mission. He comes back. And when he comes back, he stops this age. He takes the ruler of this age as well, and he puts him down. And we find in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Oh, wow, this plan took into account this, which is interesting, is that some people through the ages will have died. What do we do with those? You know what? the trumpets, and on the day of trumpets, or when that trumpet's blown and Christ comes back, those people who were dead, those secret agents, are going to be brought back to life and given that spiritual secret agent body. Wow. So the creator of this plan has captured all of these scenarios and has them in store for us. You wouldn't know that unless you understood the order of that cipher key. The HD cipher key shows us that. The dying of for the sins, the putting away of the sins. Then there is a Pentecost which says, hey, there are first fruits. There's secret agents I'm calling during this 6,000-year time period. And there's only certain ones. And when they come back at a trumpet, then I'm going to give them a spiritual body, and all those who have died, I'm going to bring them back. That's the code. That's what the cipher tells us. And so what we find is that this time, when this comes back for a second mission, that's what we know as the first resurrection. Those who were called secret agents are now, if they've died, are brought back to life. That's the first resurrection. That's what that one is called. Now, at the same time, when he comes back, there's a great event that happens. Revelation 20, verse 2, says he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. He takes the ruler of this world. To change all of this, you have to take the ruler away. You have to take his kingdom away. You have to put a new kingdom and a new ruler in there. And so what we find in this time period in this is that Satan, the ruler of this world now, is bound. You have diplomatic immunity from him, and you can claim that. Not because of your power, but because of what you belong to. At this point in time, the rest of the world, it will be taken away from the rest of the world. And all the people that had no clue who you were, had no clue that you were a secret agent, they're going to get tapped on the shoulder. And guess who's going to tap them on the shoulder? You will. And you're going to tell them about the process, what it was to become a secret agent. And then they will go, ah, wow, now I know. Now I know why you acted funny. You seemed secretive, but, you know, now I know you were an agent. And they will understand that. And you will give them, and they'll have an opportunity to become a secret agent as well. Now, you know what's very interesting is the creator of this plan cares about every single little thing that happens in this life. A little bit of a side point, but I want to give you a flavor of the character of the person who created this. The God being, in Micah 4, verse 6, says, in that day, referring to this 1,000-year time period, I will assemble the lame, those who couldn't walk. I'll gather the outcast, those who are afflicted, the outcast of society, and the afflicted, disease, and all those who've had a hard time, the disabled of this world. And I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. You know what that tells you about the creator of the one who made this plan? He's going to take those who had a hard time in this life. Those who had a disability, those who had a problem. And he'll give them a strength. He'll make them a nation and a remnant, an inheritance, kids, and give them a strong nation themselves. That's the type of the person that puts this plan together. Those who didn't have a good chance, he wants to give them a better chance. That's going to be an amazing day when that happens. Not will they will no longer be lame or have the hard time. They will be healed. And they will become a stronger nation, a strong one. God will back that up. What a time that will be as well. Now, this time period is a time period where people get a chance. And this new king puts down the old king, and the rule becomes a good rule. And we have a time period of peace and safety and all of those type of things. But wait a minute. That just counts for people that are there at the end. What about the rest of people who didn't get tapped on the shoulder to become a secret agent? What about them? What about them? That doesn't seem fair at all. You know, when the world opens this book, they read it and they go, well, too bad. You know, if we didn't get to walk out and knock on their door, then probably weren't going to make it anyway. Or God will make sure they're at the right time and right place. It's not fair. It's not fair. This plan accounts for this, that all of those who weren't tapped on the shoulder will be able to be tapped on the shoulder. How? Well, they first have to be brought back to life. This is where it says in Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead, those who weren't secret agents, did not live again until this 1,000 years were finished. Oh, interesting. This time period is all the humans that are at the end, but the Creator who put those disabled in a strong nation didn't forget about those who died without being a chance. That's extremely fair. Everybody else now gets to be brought back to life after the 1,000 years and be tapped on the shoulder and said, do you want to become a secret agent yourself? Two, God will take every single person through time who didn't have a chance today and give them a chance. And so we find that in our timeline. That's what's referred to as the second resurrection. We have those that were secret agents, died, brought back to life. Now we have those that weren't secret agents who died or brought back to life. That's at the end of that time period, that 1,000-year time period. It's really interesting. And we find they'll be given a time period. They'll be given a chance. You and I have a chance. Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in these books. The same book that you hold in your lap is the standard by which they will be compared against. Now, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Because they lived a life, didn't even know about the book. Maybe they knew something, and they did. And if they're brought up and they're just compared to that book, they're all going to be fail, right? Well, that's the interesting part here. When we understand standing before the judgment seat, it tells us in this coded book that you and I right now are standing before that seat. What does that mean? That means your life, when you start and you accept the secret mission, to when you end your life, is when you're standing before that judgment seat. Oh, okay. So it's a period of time. It's got to be a period of time for these people too. And that's what this time period is a time to live a life or relive a life, choosing the mission and compare just like you. It can't be different, can't be unfair. The fairness is they get a chance of time now that they're secret agents to go live it and compare against that book. You and I are doing that right now. You and I are standing before that judgment seat your entire life right now. They will, and they will be given the same chance. How fair is that? That's super fair. You would not understand that if you didn't have the HD cipher key, would you? That last day, which people dismiss as an ancient Israel Jewish holy day, and we should stop doing that stuff, is actually a day that points to this time in this period. Great white throne judgment when people are brought back and they're given a time period. What a great story that is. So now, this HD cipher key applied to this timeline, you can start to see how it unlocks all this view across all this time. What a secret mission this is. What a great time this is. And we see there at the end, great white throne judgment in a little time period right there at the end. There will be those given the chance and given a lifetime will reject it. They won't want it. It's silly. It's insanity, but they will say no, and they will turn it down. And God says mercifully that if they're not, their names aren't written there, and they've chosen to not go that way, they will have a chance, and they deliberately chosen to go against that way forever, they will be put out of their misery, cast in a lake of fire, dead forever. That's the mercy. So they're not going to live on in some prison cell. They're not in something like that. They are going to be put to death. That's why they're physical beings. And so we find that at the end of all of that, after all of this choice, there will become a time period where everybody, over time, will have had a chance to be tapped on the shoulder, and they can choose to enter this secret mission with you and I, or they can reject it. There won't be anything past that. There will be those who didn't choose to be a secret agent. Those who aren't will go into this thing called the lake of fire. But there's one more step. Sometimes we stop there. But there's one more step. We read that in Revelation 21:1. It says, now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Yes, headquarters. Okay, right. They wanted to clarify that this isn't just a physical creation of a new heavens and new earth. This is a spiritual creation. By this time, all secret agents will be spiritual beings. This is a new spiritual heaven and a new spiritual earth If you have seen the creation that this being has done physically, can you imagine the creation he'll do spiritually? If you read glimpses of his throne and things in the Bible, it's an amazing creation. And this being, then, will create a brand new heavens and new earth for all these spiritual secret agents now can go and inhabit. Not just here, but the whole universe is built for that. So at the end of all of this, at the end of all of this time period of everybody getting a chance, there will be a new heavens and a new earth that will be quite amazing. And at that time, it all comes together. This being that was over before here, calling, picking certain people out, having relationships just with them. Now the tabernacle of God is with all men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be their God. This is a point where everybody has chosen to be a secret agent and that to be their God. Now, that's the plan. The HD cipher key unlocks that. As we head towards the days that symbolize that, let's keep this in mind. What a great key you've been given. Now, excuse me, yes. Yes, headquarters? Right. Okay. I do need to emphasize that. They wanted me to let you know, though, that during this time period, there's secret agent training that you're going to have to go through. You will have to go through secret agent training at this time period. Now, did we tell you exactly what it'll be like? Yes, in so many ways, but we've also put secret pictures in there for you to understand what the process is. And not everybody understands what this looks like. What is that process? This may seem odd, but this is a secret key for you and I. 1 Kings 6:7 says, "And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stones finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built." That does not seem like training, but it's about training. This is about training. There's a temple being built. What does this mean, the stones were finished at the quarry? What does that even mean? If you look today, modern day quarries are places like this, you know, where you've got big holes in the ground where they're just cut out all these blocks of rocks. And you can see this here. Look how big these blocks of rocks are. And if you look at the size of it, that's a machine pulling them out or pushing them or lifting them up, excavating them out of the area. You can see the size of these rocks. They start out just like that. That's the quarry. They're taken out of this quarry by different machines, and they're brought to different places. They're cut down even smaller to size. And then they go through a process where they'll run them through a machine. These are big, huge, rough blocks. So they go through a machine and they shave off some of the rough edges that are there, right? And they start to they're starting to take a form and a shape. They start to look like this. They're stackable, you know, they're there, but there's a lot of space and they're not really that great for stacking completely yet. But there's a start, right? That's a first pass of it. Then they go through another process. You know, they'll take those stones and they'll slice them up even more with a precision blade. And then you start to see that then they'll start to work on the sides and at least one or two sides of it. So you get this kind of polished look and this polished feel, right? This is what starts to happen. Now, this is the process by which secret agents have to go through. It's a picture painted for you so you can understand that you start out as a rough secret agent block. You're going to have to go through the sawmill. You're going to have to be polished. You're going to have to be refined and those edges cut off. But they wanted to also let you know. They left a clue for you in 1 Peter 2, verse 4. There is someone who has already gone through the entire process to show you it can be done and show you how it can be done. This is the one. Guess who? The one that came on the first secret mission showed us. He went through this process. He came to him as a living stone. Oh, he came out of the quarry as a stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the first stone. The first stone was laid. That one's called the chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. What is a cornerstone? When you look at a cornerstone in construction, it's the first stone set at a foundation. It's really important that you set that correctly. It's really important it's oriented right. You don't just go bonk and it's sticking out. It's refined, it's a certain shape, it's a bottom of, it's the foundation, and it has to be set correct. When you set that, then all things come after that and are built off of that cornerstone. So it determines, that cornerstone determines what the rest of that building ends up being. That's exactly what that secret agent, super secret agent came the first time, went through this stone cutting process. You heard it said, there's a living stone. He went through that process so that we may also do the same thing. Now, what we read in Ephesians 2, verse 19 is another step. It says we're no longer strangers or foreigners. Verse 20 says we've been built on the foundation of what? Apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ. That chief cornerstone is mentioned right there. They start there. Then the next stones, the apostles and prophets, were laid, in whom the whole building, being fitly together, grows into a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom you're also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Another clue. These stones, one did it. He did it first. He shows the process. Now there's others being built on top of that. But there's a goal here. The whole building has to be fitly joined together. It has to fit together well. Those things have to drop in place in the right way. What does fitly joined mean? Fitly joined, if I look at it, these rocks here, not really fitly joined, are they? Fitly joined, there's some cracks that are there. There's some dirt. You know, this one's got some trees growing out of it, kind of a thing. There's a lot of gaps that are in there, right? Are these fitly joined? We're getting there, yeah? It's another step. Look, there's a lot of the edges are a little bit more polished off. They're starting to get together. But it still doesn't mean fitly joined. And the whole idea is that this building and all these stones being cut are being cut to drop in place and completely be perfect together. That's a process it takes. Now, if you look at other buildings, are these fitly joined? We have the Great Pyramids. These are getting closer because they're so precisely cut that you can't even get a piece of paper between them. That's starting to become fitly joined. And if you look at some of these buildings and the architecture around them, you'll see inside that these rocks and stones, maybe they're different shapes, but they're so polished and cut that they fit together. See the one on the top right? You got a different shape stone, but it's fitly joined. It's cut uniquely to fit next to the ones next to it. They're not all the same shape and size there, but they are fitly joined together. Doesn't mean you cut them all the same way, but they're all cut, but when they come together, they will fit. They will be fitly joined together. So fitly joining has to do with, when you go through this process, removing all those cracks and imperfections and shaving it off and going through a process and getting to a place when you get to the end that you're exactly the right shape, size, smoothness that when that building comes, chung, you drop right in place. That's the picture of what we have. Now, are these fitly joined? These pictures right here? They look like it, but they're not. That's a facade. It's a facade on top that's fake. So you can look fitly joined on the outside, but you have to be fitly joined on the inside. That's what we have to be. So that looks like it on the outside, but you can crack those and they're not actual rocks together. So fitly joining is a process. This process takes some time. This is like you and I at the beginning. We start like that, very rough in the upper left-hand corner. Side is chopped off, a big part. Oh, that's painful. It's painful to become a secret agent in this training. And then you start to chop different angles and different things off. And then by the time you get to the bottom, oh, look at that. It's starting to take shape. But we're not there yet. We're still not there yet. You have to lop more off. You have to then start to put more angles and facets on there and to cut those and to polish those. And look, oh, it looks like we're done, aren't we? Nope, boom, top gets cut off. Wow, that must have been painful. I thought I was getting near. I thought I was a polished jewel, but I'm not quite there yet. And then we think we're done, but we still go even more. Another step or two, another cut, another polish, another angle, until finally there's a point where all of that cutting, polishing, it's painful, but it gets to a place where it's a diamond and a jewel that looks like that. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. So what is this picture I'm telling you? This picture is this, back to the scripture, the temple when it was being built. Do you know that's a code? The temple. That's referring to the building that God is building out of you and I, all the secret agents over time, was built with stones. They were finished at the quarry. In other words, they were done 2 miles, 3 miles down the road. They were all cut over there, polished, exact dimensions a certain way, so that at the end, when they brought them together out of the quarry, there was no hammer or chisel heard in the temple when it was being built. You know what that means? Over time, over distance, this person is cutting those stones exactly a certain way, certain size, certain shape. At the end, he'll bring them all together without hammer or chisel, and they will lock in place. This picture of the temple and how it was built was given to you and I to show you how you're going to be built. That's how it works for you and I, the same exact way. And we look at this over a period of time. This process has been taking place with these different stones. These different stones are cut. There's a few here and there. You know what? They were cut perfectly that many thousands of years ago. You're being cut a certain way starting today, a certain place in a certain way. So that over that whole time, all those stones cut in a quarry will be brought together and they will be dropped into something. Do you know what? There's a code that shows you that in the Bible. I don't know if you noticed this, but in Revelation 21:9, it says, there are one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last, to look at the time, I can't even see it. Okay, seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. That is the club of secret agents. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. And then verse 11 says that having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three on the west. And the construction of the walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, etc. And you can keep reading the rest, all the different stones, sardonyx, sardius, you know, etc. And they look like pearls. What is this describing? This is describing all of those stones being cut at different times, different places, in a perfect way, so that when they come together, it looks like this. This is describing the bride of Christ. This is describing that temple that was built all at once with all those stones over all the time with all the secret agents. What an amazing picture. The precision of the person that can put this together and make those stones fit over all that period of time, over all those ages, is amazing. You would not understand this. You would not understand this if you did not have the cipher key I gave you and the order that it comes in. Because that order and that plan is unlocked, and this timeline is unlocked when you have that cipher key. And we think about that when we come up to these days. Now, just a couple more. Yes, excuse me for a second. Yes, headquarters, go ahead. Right. I will read that one. They wanted me to read this to you. Romans 8:28. Before you decide to accept this mission, knowing how the process will go, that you will be cut, you'll be polished, it'll take time, but when that all comes perfectly fit together and all those agents come together at the end, it's a beautiful thing. And they want you to know, though, it's worth it. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things, all of this cutting, all these things that happen to you, work together for the good for those who love God, those who are called secret agents according to his purpose. If you become a secret agent, all the things that happen to you are not by accident. They are for a purpose, and they all work together to shape you for that time. So we have to know that there is that time. The world reads the book and says you'll sit on a cloud and play a harp. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to do that. That's boring. But you're going to be shaped, and you're going to be in a kingdom, and you're going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And everything you go through has a purpose to shape you to be that stone for that beautiful building. Do you want this? Do you want this? If you want this, it's a beautiful thing. Behold, 1 John 3:1 says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. That's what a secret agent is called. You are a children of God. What an incredible privilege we have seen today from start of history to the end, and a secret plan that's unlocked with a cipher that you've been given. You've been given. And that is your mission, if you choose to accept it. Yes. Okay. Copter is ready. Thank you. This is Agent Smith out.